Thank you so much for listening. For more information about Ebenezer Church, visit us online at ebenezerpbc.org.
Last week we spoke about Christ being the beginning, as all things were made by Him and all things were made for Him.
Yes.
As He is the living Word of God by which the worlds, the natural world and the spiritual world, the two, plural, are formed. And we're going back to Genesis in order to spend a few chapters in here to teach of Jesus Christ, because the entire book from beginning to end of the Bible is Jesus Christ, but there's so much in Genesis. I mentioned last week that if I tried to preach through the entire book in my weak flesh, if I was blessed, I'd never get through with it as long as I live. But let's try to move forward a little bit. In the beginning, Genesis 1 and 1, God created the heaven and the earth. The Bible plainly references, we said last week, the whole text, the whole entire text about Christ. Beginning the creation of God, the glory of God, the express image of the person of God, the second person of the Godhead, the living Word of God that God spoke when God created the heaven and the earth. And I want you to draw in mind as we get down a little further this word heaven. He didn't say the heavens. He said heaven. There's one heaven that has no beginning. The heaven above, the third heaven, the heaven of heavens, the heaven, singular, of heavens, plural, those created, and that which is eternal is God. I'll use a point to prove that. Jesus told His disciples, while speaking, if memory serves me correctly, to the religious elite of the day in Jerusalem, that they were to seek the kingdom of God, and He said that the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. He said, say neither here nor there, for the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God that we have today, which came down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband, that's the church. The kingdom of God we have today is Christ in you. It's Jesus Christ, the living Word of God in you. The same Word that created the heaven and the earth, the same Word that dwells within you. The kingdom of God is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I say that to make mention that the heaven where God is in His domain is eternal, for it is God Himself. That's why Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. That's not saying He's going to create heaven. Heaven being God, the kingdom of God, is absolute. It's eternal. It has no beginning. It has no end. So when it says in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, we must understand the heaven being spoken of is the heaven around this world, the atmosphere in which we breathe, and the atmosphere where the stars and the sun and the skies are, which God created. Let's move forward with the text. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. I wondered about this many times the younger part of my life and part of the younger part of the ministry, especially with the responsibility of teaching people of the glory of God, which is Jesus Christ. And many times when I read this text, I think of a dead alien sinner who cannot come to God, who cannot know God. He's without form in the eyes of God. He's void. And darkness was upon our heart. And Christ, John 1, the light of God, drives that darkness away. And God does things in repetitive patterns that we may see and understand at times. But the earth was without form and void. What does that say? Well, we already know, reading from the writings last week, that He created the compass of the earth. Christ, the living Word, did. So that teaches us that there was a circle. The earth was a circle. Well, it says it had no form. When God spoke, it was. It was a circle. It was He set a compass upon the earth, so it was made as a circle. So what does it mean the earth was without form and void? It means there was nothing there. It was without form. It was void. It was void of life. It was, as you see in what's coming in creation, it was devoid of any living thing, any living soul. It was devoid of land. It was devoid of everything God would create. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. If God is not there, there is no light. God had created and spoken to existence through His Son, Jesus Christ, but God had not yet, if you will have this, moved upon the face of the waters. The Spirit of God was not yet there, so darkness was upon the face of the deep. 1 John chapter 1 says, God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. There was darkness and without light, so God was not yet moved upon the face of the earth. And darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. We see the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost in Trinity, because we see God the Father creating in His purpose, His eternal purpose, and we see the Word of God, who is what God speaks, the living Word by which the worlds were framed, and we see the Spirit of God. But let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1, about verse 11, you will find Peter. I'm going to make a proof of this, Spirit of God. 1 Peter 1:11, Peter talking of the prophets that were beforehand, testifying of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. But he makes a point there, talking about those prophets beforehand, that the Spirit of Christ had anointed him. When we talk about the Spirit of God, we're talking about the Holy Ghost, but we're speaking about the Spirit of Christ. We're speaking about the Spirit of anointing. Jesus Christ. Christ means anointed, Messiah, Jesus, Savior, Christ, anointed. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Notice first of all what happened. God said, there is the living Word of God through which all things are created, through which God is manifested unto us, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ. It is Jesus, the second person of the Godhead, is the light of God. Reference that in John chapter 1 last week. He is the light of God. God said, let there be light, and there was not. There was light. This is not a period of time. This is not a year. This is not a 2-minute delay. This is not thousands of years. This is not millions of years. This is not billions of years that the world lay dormant with smoke coming off the deep water while the land and the light was being formed. This is not a time when the sun was in the sky, because you plainly read on the fourth day, God created the sun and the moon. He made them. He created them. There was no sun. There was no moon. But God said, let there be light. And what happened? The Spirit of God moved upon the waters. God said, let there be light. God is light. Christ is the light of God. Christ manifested the light of God. God said, let there be light. And there was light. That is Christ. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. I'm gonna give you something to think about while we got that on the mind. Christ hanged, suspended from above the earth on the cross of Calvary, and he hanged between two men. Though both of those men railed on him in their own nature, criminals, guilty, convicted of death, and worthy of whatever fell upon them by government or God, because they're in their very nature were sinners. But Christ separated between those two men. He was between them. He hanged between them. He is between them today. There was one man that had a change. He was separated. There wasn't a church there. He was sanctified. He was made holy. Wasn't a church there, no preacher, no ministry, no Sunday school, no choir. There was no one there but the very Son of God who gave him life, and he hung between them. God divides, God separates his people from this fallen world and from the nature and fallen race of Adam. But God, for the sake of the text, saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. When the light begins to move, and actually I don't believe the light moves, from what I gather from true science, it is God, we mentioned last week, set this glow, this earth upon the tilt it's on, and it's held there by Christ, and it spins and it rotates around the sun. At that time there was no sun, but the light of God was there. And as it spun, and as it turns on that tilt, that's what holds gravity together, the tilt of the earth, as it spins. Without that, we'd all been flung up into space before we ever were consumed or conceived. We'd be consumed. But the light is Christ, and as the world turns, it makes a 24-hour day. God would later give reference to days and weeks and years, because this is the beginning of time. It has not changed. It is the same as God made it. Reading an Arminian writing yesterday, I like to read him because most of his things concerning the law and the prophets are very factual, historical. I like to go there when I read about sometimes the things in the Jewish ceremonies and history. But I'm going to tell you, I disagree with him on what he said about this. Well, the world lay there for millions of years. That's not what the Bible teaches. I'm not here to ridicule anybody. I'm here to try to take you from what is taught in the world and teach you of Jesus Christ, the power and the wisdom of God. That was one day God said, "Let there be light," and there was light, and God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. He spoke. He spoke. Who is the God that spoke? The living Word of God. He spoke. That's declaring God to us. He spoke, the light was. And God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness He called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. The Lord told these sons of Israel, He's not talking to us in that text. He's talking to the sons of Israel, or what were left of them, in Judea, in the book of Malachi, as He's about to tell them there would not be a prophet for 400 years. It's going to be darkness. You won't have a vision. You won't have a seer. You won't have a prophet. But He told them there in that same text, "I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob," natural Israel, "are not consumed." But my point to give you in all that is God does not change. God created that first day. That first day is just as it is today. Depending on how the earth is spinning and what is transpiring in the times and seasons of nature, we'll talk about that as we go through this chapter. It may be more hours of darkness and light in the day. Or if it's in the summer, there may be more hours of light in the day. That's in the nature that God created for God's purpose, for God's time. As you're going to see at the end of this chapter, all of this is done for us because we have dominion over it all. Can you not see that God loves His people? God called the light day, the darkness and the cold night, and evening and the morning with the first day. God does not change. God's purpose has not changed. And I declare unto you, I'm not going to submit it. I'm going to tell you because it's what the Bible teaches. God does not change, and time has not changed. And the evening and the morning with the first day, day number one. Uno, created of God. One 24-hour day. It didn't lay here for millions of years waiting for some placebo to wash up on the bank. First place, there's no water here. There's no land to wash up on. There's water because darkness is upon the face of the deep.
Right.
As we read last week, dead things are formed from under the waters. You're going to see them in a moment that even the things which are made under the water came from the dirt of the ground. God called the light day, the darkness He called night, and evening, morning, the first day. Number one, 24 hours. And God said, "Let there be a firmament." That means an expanse, a great expanse. And God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." He's not talking about land. Let's finish the text. He is speaking of the waters in the sky. I meant to Google this morning and I forgot, and that's my fault. You lay that to me in my weak flesh. But if my memory serves me correctly, it's been a long time since I was in high school, but it's something like 75% of your body is water, okay? Our air is water. That's how we have clouds and humidity and rain. Although at this time it would not rain until sin entered the world and God would destroy the world. We'll get to that later on in Genesis. But my point is the air has water in it, and even the air above the atmosphere we breathe in has water in it. Water signifies life, and many times it actually means the spirit, but here it means just what it says, water. Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. What waters? The waters of the heaven that God created. Not the eternal heaven, that's eternal. The air, the atmosphere in which we breathe, as you go higher, the air gets thinner. A man cannot live when he gets so far above the earth because the air is so thin he cannot be sustained in life. You got our atmosphere, that's called heaven, scripturally. Beyond that, there's a heaven where God would on the fourth day set the sun, the moon, and all the stars for His purpose. And that is a heaven. Made mention last week of laying there by the campfire that night and looking up into the sky on a clear winter night and seeing the stars, the ones that were closer, and then looking beyond them in the same spot, you'll see another star farther off and then another one farther off, and going through my mind as a young child, what's beyond that? Well, everything has to stop, and regarding temporal things such as time, yes, it does. But what's beyond that? What's beyond those stars? What's beyond those other stars and planets that we sometimes see faintly from time to time? It's got to end. What's beyond it? The eternal God. The heaven of the heaven. The eternal God. The Spirit. And God said there'll be a firmament in the midst of the waters, our atmosphere and what we call space, and let it divide the waters from the waters. This is, as I have said before, I was very hesitant to try to teach this until I studied enough and prayed enough to believe it so, because I dare not try to change what I have been given as truth in Scripture. But God set a barrier, a firmament between the waters in our atmosphere and the waters in the heaven where God would set the sun, the moon, and the stars. It was a firmament, an expanse of water. Many people speculate that was to protect the earth from the sun's rays. That may be so. The Bible has not revealed that to me. Or should I say the Lord hath not revealed that unto me. The secret things belong to God. They're none of my business. They're none of yours. I take it by faith that God did these things. And that's good enough for me because the Scripture says so.
Amen.
God set this firmament of water between them. God may have created it to destroy the earth in the days of Noah, because that's what He did with it. And since that time, men's lives have gotten shorter. Perhaps that did. That's one basis for the thinking that it protected us from the UV rays of the sun. But I can tell you by authority of the King James Bible, which God delivered to an English-speaking people, and it has been here since that time, that God set that firmament there. It divided the waters above the firmament from the ones that were below. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and morning was the second day. There's your second 24 hours day. Science falsely so-called, let me be gentle and not call names, as is my cruel nature. Science falsely so-called will teach you it lay there 60 million years. Oh, the dinosaur came about, and then billions of years came. Man made proof of that last week in Job 40 and 41, speaking of the brontosaurus and the dragon of Leviathan. God said, I formed him in the day I created thee. So they were made together. This is 2 24 hours a day. And those things which I just spoke of were created on the sixth day. Except possibly the Leviathan. If he was a sea monster, he was created not on the sixth, but before. And God said, let the waters under the heaven That's here, the waters on the first, the earth. Remember, the world is covered with water. There's no dry land. There's nothing here that we could stand on. There's no life in the ocean. God is forming. Let me say this while I've got that truck on my mind. God could have created all of this at one time with man intact upon it. But if God had done it as bad as we are to worship the creature more than the Creator, to worship the sun and moon which God hath created and set in the sky, then we'd have laid claim we're here with it at the same time and we made it ourselves. And God set it forth in 6 24-hour days. One reason, to teach us the steps that He went to one at a time to prepare exactly what was needed for mankind, for Adam and his race to live and prosper here on the earth. And another to teach us that they came in a process of time in due order. God made the world. God made the heaven. God made the dry land. And then God began creating life, whether plant or fish or fowl or creeping things upon the earth. And finally, man. He's teaching us the order because our God is a God of order. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. How long did it take? Just like that. God said it was. And God called the dry land earth. And the gathering together of the waters called He seas. And God saw that it was good. Sea means a body of water. We call them oceans, we call them seas, we call them lakes. It's a body of water. God created them, and the dry land appeared. They were formed instantly. And God said, there's the living Word of God. This is all about Christ. This is all in Christ. This is all for Christ. And God said, the living Word, let the earth bring forth grass. And the herb yielding seed. Because see, this proper order of how God is setting things, He's setting forth food upon the earth for all these creatures of the world that God would create and for mankind whom God would form from the dust of the ground. And the proper order of things that we may know and see and learn how God cares for you. And another power in the wisdom of God, which is in Jesus Christ, the living Word of God. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass. The herb yielding seed. Do you catch that? Yielding seed. God didn't set seed in the earth. What came first? The chicken or the egg, somebody used to say. Some people worship the egg and pass society. From that egg came forth the chicken or the bird. No. God set forth that animal, that creature, whatever it was, grass, herb, fruit tree, animal. God set it in the earth and had it with seed that it would replenish, that it would be ongoing, that it would be upon the earth as long as the purpose of God was being carried out in this earth. Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after His kind. Somebody said, well, God didn't make lions and tigers and bears. I don't know. After His kind, cats bring forth cats, dogs bring forth dogs. Maybe way back there, maybe it was a dog, and from that came forth. I don't know. But I'm telling you, whatever order it was set in, God created it. God created everything after His kind, whose seed is in itself, because this text primarily is speaking of vegetation upon the earth. God said it, that's Christ, the living Word, and it was so. Somewhere it says the promises of God are yea and amen. For God cannot lie, the living Word of God is absolute. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after His kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after His kind. And God saw that it was good. The earth did not bring these forth. God brought them forth. And their seed, being vegetation, fell in the ground, and then it came forth in the process which God set it forth to do. in the order which God created. In the evening and the morning was the third day, 3 24-hour days. And God said, there's Christ, there's the living Word. Let there be lights in the firmament of heaven. Okay, we've already got light on the earth. You're not going to convince me that's not Christ and the glory of God. The heavens, the 19th Psalm, verse 1, the heavens declare the handiwork of the glory of God, the handiwork of God. Creation magnifies, it displays Christ, the power and glory of God, the light of God in this world. And God said, and remember, there was no sin at this time. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night. The sun, the shining brightness of what God created, they say it's 1.5 million times greater than the earth. It said at just the right distance from the earth, any closer we'd be consumed in the heat. Any farther away, we'd freeze to death. Do you think that's by chance? Do you think that's evolved? It's created of God in Christ, by Christ, for Christ, and Christ sustains it. Christ holds it together. Don't you ever think Jesus Christ is a weak thing needing help? He's the God of creation. Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. This is on day 4, the beginning of day 4. And let them be for signs and for seasons. What kind of signs? Tell me how the old farmer knows how to plant. There's a time of planting. There's a time of growth. There's a time when God sends rain and things grow, and sunshine and things grow. There's a time when things come to ripeness and God gives us harvest, signs, and seasons. When you see the ring around the moon at night, you know it's going to rain. When you see the sun with the redness around it, you know it's going to rain or be bad weather. Let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. Why? Because God said it, the living Word of God. It is absolute. And God made two great lights, the sun and the moon. The greater light to rule the day. I was reading this morning, trying to refresh my memory. There are said to be over 100,000. Think of the greatness of God. Think of the greatness of Christ. 100,000 galaxies in this universe. There are said to be over 3 billion stars, or suns as many call them, in the Milky Way alone. And God created them all. And God named them all. And God keeps them all. What have we got to worry about? Why do we fret in the nature of man? Because we're less than God, and we're fallen creatures by our nature. Let them be for lights in the firmament of heaven, give light upon the earth. And it was so. It's absolute. And God made two great lights, a greater light to rule the day. The sun shines in its greatness, the lesser light to rule the night. I said this 20 years ago. I'm going to say it again. The moon is like the church. It has no illumination of its own. We have no righteousness of our own. Our righteousness is imputed to us in who this very living Word, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, by whom the worlds were created. The moon gets its light from the sun. It reflects upon the earth to rule over the night. The sun rules over the day. And Christ, we have His imputed righteousness upon us, and He rules over all. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. Do you see any mention here of anything that's less than good? God cannot do less than good. God cannot create nor ordain sin. And the evening and the morning were fourth day. four 24-hour days. And God said, here's Christ, the living Word, let the waters, this waters of the earth, bring forth abundantly the moving creature that have life, every fish, everything that lives under the water, and fowl. And the paleontologists will tell you that fowls came from the water. God says He created them from beneath the water, yes. But let's go here to chapter 2 and let's read. Verse 18, the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make and help meet for him. Catch the verse 19. And out of the ground, says here the water. Where's the ground? Underneath the water. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air. It came from the earth that God had made. Beneath the water was land, was dirt. Beneath our land is water. We see the wells of water on the things that man drill down into. My brother drilled for water. There's water in the earth. People out west starving to death for water. Dig for it. God told you it's there. Believe. Believe it. And there's your temporal salvation. Believe. Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament, our atmosphere. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind. Fish don't become worms. Monkeys don't become man. And every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw that it was good. Now watch this. And God blessed them. These are living creatures. Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas and let fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Let me have a word on that. The evening and the morning. The first thing there was darkness. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. God divided the light from the darkness. The day He called, the light He called day. The night He called darkness. If you read that, it would seem that the day would begin at night. Our day, like the Romans, begins at midnight. The Jews start at 6 a.m. There are, how have been people in this world, their societies would have their day begin in the evening. However we decide to claim that or call that really makes no difference, because God created it. God sustained it, period. And 24 hours is one day. You want to break it down to some other minute, second, it still comes up to the same thing. One day, one time. How long is a year? 365 days and some odd hours. We are not smart enough to make a calendar to fill that and be perfect, because we're less than God. We are creatures, not creator, but creatures. The secret things belong to God. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after His kind. Cattle, that means domesticated beast and creeping thing, take your pick. Worms, spiders, roly-polies, all these sorts of things. And beast of the earth, what they call it on the Wizard of Oz, lions and tigers and bears, every creature made after His kind. And it was so. It is absolute. God said, that's the living Word of God. He cannot fail. He is absolute. God keeping things in perfect order, for our God is a God of order. This is on the sixth day. After this day, there will be absolutely nothing created again. They go down to this island and now this land in Africa. They found a frog, much like the Leviathan. This has been 20 years ago. They found a frog that would breathe. And part of his below section and part of his upper section, his respiratory system, when it came out of his mouth, brought forth two separate gases. And when the gases came together outside of his mouth, they made fire. Can we say Leviathan, fire-breathing dragon? That's not just a myth. It was created of God, Job 41. I said that to make a point. Let us make man, God said. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. I do believe that God created man as the Son of Man, the living Word exists. God the Father is the Spirit. We see the Holy Ghost. We see the living Word of God. We see Him walking in the garden with Adam, pre-incarnate, Son of God. We see Him in a body, head, hands, feet, eyes, mouth, nose. We are made in the image of God. And furthermore, we were made also in the image of God because we were made good and upright without sin. He's been saying it was good. God said it was good. God said it was good. Verse 32 tells us at the end of creation, God said it was very good. Man was not made in sin. Man was not made to sin. Man was made in the image of God, male and female. Why? Because the Apostle Paul tells us that we are ambassadors in this world for Christ's sake. That's nothing new. God made us to represent God. We were made in His image, in body, and in righteousness to represent God, the Spirit. While we walk here upon this earth, a great deal of that is the love of God. A great deal of that is our shepherd who walks among us because God desired a people that He would worship Him, that He could love, that He could dwell among, that He could cherish and be so very good to them. And He is, even in this world of sin. God said, let us, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, make man in our image after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. God gave them dominion over all. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him, male and female, the two, let me get through with creation. But the two are man, mankind. Different roles, different bodies, different purpose. You can talk about a man all you want. And a man, that's one of the greatest things hurts our society today, is the lack of a man and a father in the house. But I'm going to tell you something. You take a mother out of a house and it's dead. Period. It is dead. God created man in His own image. The image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over everything He created. Do you see what He's saying here in verse 29? I have created you. I have made you. I made all this for you. My man, my Adam, and my woman, Eve, whom God would make and place upon the earth. All this is for you. And I've given you dominion. I've given you authority. I've given you the rule. Subdue it. And just like He did with the herb and the animals, God had man in to procreate. To bring forth seed of man upon the earth. Now Adam corrupted that. We're going to see that shortly. What was made in the image of God, Adam's children came forth in the image of Seth, Genesis 5, in the image of Adam, rather, fallen creature. But he was an appointed seed, that's what Seth means. He said, behold, I've given you every herb bearing seed that's upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed to you, it shall be for meat, and to every beast of the earth, to every fowl there, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life. I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. We're going to see a little change when Noah comes off the ark. And God saw everything that He had made. And remember, all things were made by Him and for Him. And without Him, Christ, the living Word, our Savior, Can you see how difficult it is to comprehend that this God came into the world, the living Word of God, and bore our sin? His body became sin. He suffered our penalty for sin. How much can He love us? It's amazing. No wonder the old slave trader, hearing those black men that were enslaved in the chains below, singing that song, he was touched with the Spirit of God. Amazing grace. Lord, have mercy. How can you love me? How can you look upon me? That's why I want to serve the Lord. Lord, how good He is to us. And God saw everything that He had made. There's been nothing made since Eve was formed. That was the end of creation. And the evening and the morning with the sixth day. And I'm going to read you a verse or two and sit down. We'll come to this and start again next week in chapter 2. This is proof to you creation was finished and had nothing been created since that day. Thus the heavens and the earth was finished and all the host of them, everything was made, was finished on day 6. And on the seventh day, God ended His work which He had made, and He rested on the seventh day from all the work which He had made. Telling you about that frog in Africa, I lost the thought, but the Lord has brought it back, so you glorify Him if it's any good. We found a new creature, a new creation. No, you have not. You found something that hadn't been seen in a while. But everything made was made in those 6 days. On the seventh day, God ended His work, not because He was out of material, for things that are made were made of things that are not seen. Hebrews 11. God didn't need a bucket of dirt. God spoke and it was. God didn't need a bucket of water. He spoke and it was. And He certainly is the only giver of life. On the seventh day, God ended His work which He had made, and He rested. He rested. Do you understand the rest we have in Christ when the Spirit of God has given us life and we hear the gospel and the Lord blesses us to put things together by His grace and we have peace that no matter what happens in this dark, sinful earth, that we'll stand with God in glory. Now there's a rest, brethren. There's a rest to the soul. God ended His work the seventh day, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had made. He wasn't tired. He rested for a purpose. He gave them the Sabbath. Jesus told them man was not made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for the man. He gave us dominion over all things, and He would give us a rest. And we have a rest today in Christ. Rest in your heart. Rest into your soul. Matthew 11, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden. You don't labor and heavy laden if you're not born of God. And I will give you rest. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. He made it holy. Because that in it He had rested from all His work, which God created and made. Now you go back to Job again. These are but parts of His ways. Lord, have mercy. We'll never know the fullness of God.